The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
On News Talk.
You might have seen Sinead Ryan, our colleague, of course, from the Home Show in News Talk, has her column in the Irish Independent today making a call for cookery classes to be compulsory in schools. Well, it gives me great, great pleasure to say that Doreena Allen is with me here in studio, in our makeshift studio in Castlemartyr. She's the author and a founder of Ballymaloe Cooking School as well. And she did not have far to travel, Doreena. It was not a huge ask. You're just up the road.
Just 10 minutes, just down the road, just close to the sea.
Yeah. Between here and Ballycotton. Actually, we're going to be down in Ballycotton a little bit later in the show as well, talking to some of the men who still make their living off the sea. But what do you make of this call? Should cooking be compulsory in school?
Well, for years I've been on a mission, and I think I've made very little progress to get practical cooking embedded in the school curriculum. I'd love to, children to be shown how to sow seeds and how to grow some of their own food as well, and to learn that magic. But my goodness, yeah, I totally think I hate the word compulsory, really. Although I suppose that's what it is that because I really feel that we're failing in our duty of care to our young people by letting them out of our homes and out of our schools without giving them the very basic skills to feed themselves properly.
So how would you imagine it kind of working in schools?
But you know, the other thing, I really, you know, the STEM subjects, and everybody concentrates on the STEM subjects and all of that. Well, why is cooking and cooking classes and these practical skills not looked on as an absolutely, totally essential skill, considering it's the thing that, you know, keeps us going, our energy, vitality, our ability to concentrate, everything. So much of that depends on the food we eat. So absolutely.
And I wonder maybe that the argument in favour of them has possibly gotten stronger as people's living patterns and work patterns have changed.
Yes.
So, you know, mum, and it would have traditionally been mum, might have been at home cooking.
Yes.
And so there was that ability to teach the kids at home. That's not necessarily there in lots of houses. So lots of people listening to this are kind of, maybe they're on their way home from work, both mum and dad.
Yeah, and trying to keep all the boys in there. It's really, really difficult. And of course, but the other thing is that so much of that situation creates a scenario where people simply have so little time to cook. And so, you know, now we're eating, I think in Ireland, there was a survey there in Europe a couple of months ago, where in Ireland we're the highest in the EU for our spend on ultra processed food. So basically 47.something% now of the weekly shop is ultra processed food. And of course, all of those things being too busy and everything link into it. But too much depends on dinner, really, for this to be, you know, not to be a priority. I mean, I was brought up, I'm the eldest of nine children. I was brought up, mommy loved to cook, and she cooked lots of lovely, you know, what you might call home cooking, the most important kind of food as far as I'm concerned. And we got a strong message that she felt strongly that if she didn't put the effort into the food on the table, you'd give it to the doctor or the chemist. And we were brought up knowing that our food should be our medicine. And of course, we all helped and all that sort of thing as well. And learned at that time, as you quite rightly said, the skills were passed on from one generation to another. But now so many people are both partners working. It's terribly difficult. So the schools really have to step up to it. And we don't, here in Ireland, we don't have to. And by the way, many schools and many teachers are already taking this into their own hands and doing a great job. But we don't have to reinvent the wheel, because this already happens in Finland, for example. Basically, in Finland, as part of their educational system, no boy or girl can leave school with the equivalent of a leaving cert or whatever you like to call it, without being able to prove that they can cook a whole lot of dishes and do other things as well, by the way. So, you know, we could look at that model, and I think it's super urgent now. It really, really is. We can see that if you look at what's happening in America, for example, it's often interesting to see what's happening over there, because what happens there very often follows over here in 3 or 4 years' time. There's a health crisis. I mean, so many of the young people, it's an absolute crisis. And so much of that, to a great extent, is connected to the food we eat. And nowadays, of course, the big emphasis is on cheap food. And I mean, this is a very emotive issue because there are many people who can't afford to spend more on their food. But I sort of feel so strongly that we need to give the children the skills and we need to pay the farmers to keep us healthy.
It strikes me as well how much of it is connected as well, isn't it? Because we had Donal O'Shea on the show yesterday. Dr. Donal O'Shea is the HSE lead for obesity, and he was talking about some of the things you're talking about, the need for these really healthy diets full of natural foods.
Yeah, real food, the better,
less of this processed stuff. After 5 o'clock, we're going to be talking about, and I know that the connection might seem a bit abstract at first, but passenger caps at Dublin Airport. And the reason that there's a discussion is because of aviation and emissions. Food waste is responsible for about four times the level of carbon emissions than aviation. Food waste is a huge, huge issue.
Yeah.
And I would wager your mother cooking natural food at home wasn't throwing an awful lot out.
God bless us. Waste was not an option. You get a clip in the ear if you left something on your plate. But also, this is all back to teaching kids how to cook and how to use up leftovers deliciously. And I mean, it may sound like a very funny thing and many people will disagree with me, but in some ways the whole emphasis on cheap food, and we think cheap food should be our right. Well, basically the easy come, easy go. You know, if you're paying for a chicken, an organic chicken or something, which costs, you know, it's horrifying for a lot of people to hear that the real price of an organic chicken that doesn't have, you know, all sorts of residues of hormones, growth promoters, bone strength, antidepressants, is about 20 quid. Well, you pay 20 quid for a chicken. And like years ago, it used to be a treat, something you had once a week or something. I can tell you, you won't waste one single scrap of it. We would get 6-7 meals out of a chicken like that. We'd make a lovely big pot of stock from the bones, a little chicken liver pate from the liver, and put the giblets into the stock and everything. And every scrap. But on the other hand, if some, you know, easy come, easy go. Not everybody will agree with me, but certainly, and it's horrifying how much food is thrown out. But I also say to people, for goodness sake, would you think of having a few hens? At least if you have a few hens in your garden, you can, if you had four hens, you can feed the scraps that are left over from the house at least to the hens, and you get a few eggs a few days later, and the kids learn where the eggs come from, and the manure goes back onto the soil. You could grow lovely vegetables with that, and so on. So it's all part of a cycle. And even if you had four hens, have you got hens?
No, Doreen, I'm going to interrupt you. I mean, you're going to give my kids ideas if they're listening. I mean, the dog is busy enough eating my hydrangeas. I'd want him out eating my hens.
If you had four hens, you'd have, and you could put them in a little coop on the lawn, they'd move around, and you'd have enough hens, enough eggs to look after your husband, and you can give a few present to a few, if you're going off to supper with some friends, give them a present of a half dozen eggs, much better than a dodgy bottle of wine.
Well, listen, you have kind of teenagers into the cookery school intermittently. You were just telling me during the ad break you've had a group of teenagers in today. Yeah. To a degree, change is often led by those younger people. Oh, do you think younger people are more engaged in this type of thing? The consciousness of kind of food waste, of emissions to do with food waste, about getting a better kind of balance in their diet?
Yeah, well, it's fantastic to say a lot of them are, and they love sowing seeds as well. But basically, you know, the teens, so we had teens in the kitchen today and we taught them all sorts of things. They loved making bread and tomato fondue and stir fries and a whole lot of other things, raspberry jam to go on their bread. And they, you know, you'd be amazed what they can do, but you can start children cooking much earlier than that. From 4 or 5 years of age, I think, help you a little bit in the kitchen, and they'll usually start with sweeter things, but that's fine because they'll go on to savoury things too. People are terrified of giving children knives, but you have to teach them how to use a knife. And you can teach very small children how to use a little serrated knife, you know, and so that they're safe, and you give them the skills, and they love it when they when they cook something and you know, that share it with their friends and so on.
Well, listen, you made the case well, Doreena. Thanks a million for joining us.
Not
in
at
studio.
All. Thank
it's been
you
a real, real
me.
Pleasure. Doreena Allen, the author, the founder of Ballymaloe Cookery School. Thank you so much again.
The Hard Shoulder with Kieran Cuddihy.
With the MG Hybrid and Electric range.
Weekdays from 4 on News Talk.